Wouldn't it be cool if you could get the perspective of a first-time home buyer? What do they want? What are they looking for? What do they not want in a house? So for today's episode, I thought I'd do something a little bit different. So this is Andy Nathan, Tales from a Digital Marketing Realtor. And I actually have my wife on this podcast. I'm going to be asking her a few brief questions because we bought our first house together about last year. Wow, it's been a year. So I just want to go through with you what her perspective was because, you know, part of it is as someone who's been in the real estate industry for a long time, I had a very different perspective of what I wanted for a house versus what she wanted, and she eventually won. So I figured it'd be good.
We both won.
We haven't taught her proper etiquette at podcasts and how not to interrupt the host. So I'm going to introduce my wife, Pamela. Say hello.
Hi, this is Pamela Nathan.
So we're going to be just basically talking. Why don't you go into a little bit about what type of house that we bought just to give people an idea of what we were looking for and what we decided on. Why don't you tell a little bit about our place?
Well, we actually ended up with a condo, which is a duplex down. So we have a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, which is something that we weren't necessarily expecting to get, but we were very, very lucky to get, I think. Originally, when I was looking for a home, since I've been in the city since 2006, I've lived in apartments. So I didn't want to feel like if I'm buying a home, I'm still going to be living in an apartment. I wanted it to feel, you know, more homey, basically.
Yeah. And this is, just for clarification, this is a 6-unit building and we're on the first floor. So it kind of has that really like, you just straight walk into our apartment building or apartment or unit, I should say.
Apartment.
Yeah. Yes. So what were you looking for when we set off to look at places last year? What would you think your top 2 or 3 things were?
Well, I wanted something with space that we could grow into because if you remember the first day we moved into our apartment together, we basically already had outgrown it.
Yep. Our old place was a 2-bedroom, 2-bath. And when I moved in, it was okay. And then when she moved in, we had no space.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and wanting to start a family.
Plus, we need room for all my good jokes.
Not enough space in the world for that.
Nope.
So we just wanted something that we could, yeah, definitely grow into. And something that was, I think, a little bit more modern, because our apartment was pretty modern, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't want to necessarily go into a fixer-upper wasn't necessarily something that scared me, but, you know, turnkey, something ready to move into is just really nice.
And we did look at some definite fixer-uppers. I wanted to do a fixer-upper because I wanted the deal and the equity and also just for, I was looking to house hack, which for those of you who are out there who know what that is, you know that it means you live in a place and then you rent out like another unit, like you buy a 2-unit or 3-unit and you live in one and rent out the other so you could get money from your property. I had done something similar to that when I lived in a condo previously because I had a 2-bedroom, 2-bath where I lived in by myself and rented out the other bedroom to friends and stuff like that. So I had experience with that. But Pam had a little bit of a different idea.
Well, you were thinking more business and making money. I was thinking more family.
Yes. And by the way, she is doing this graciously while she is 9 months pregnant.
This is true.
So we are having the family as well, which is one of the reasons why we got a place that was too big for us because we knew we'd grow into it.
There's no such thing.
There's no such thing, which is kind of funny. When we went through, my dad first saw it, and he said, is this place too big for you? And that's exactly what Pam said.
There's no such thing.
So
I can fill it up.
So definitely space. Definitely.
Well, the funny part is that since this place is... So our place is 2,600 square feet.
24, yeah.
26.
It's 26.
It's 26. And our last place was, what, 1,100?
It was 1,000. That's 1,000, roughly.
So everything that we had in our old apartment, we put in this one, and it's filled up every space. So how we managed...
Except for the bedroom that we're turning into the baby's room now.
Except for the bedroom that we're turning into the baby's room, and then our king-size bed that we had, because we put our old bed downstairs in one of the spare bedrooms, but everything we had fit into our little apartment.
Yes.
And it fits this space pretty well, I think.
Yeah, we didn't have to buy too much. We are buying a few. We did have to buy a few things. Like we bought a bed, we bought a couch. So definitely one of the things here, just from a marketing perspective, is when you're talking to people, as you can see, just listening to Pam, just going through this from the business perspective, because this is about digital marketing real estate, is that she was looking for space. She was also looking for something modern and something to grow into. And I think a lot of times when we talk to people, just understanding that is really helpful. So let me ask you, just going from the flip side, what were things that you did not want?
Well, like I said, I didn't want something that felt like I'm still living in an apartment, because, you know, what's the point?
Okay.
If you're going to be, I didn't want to, you know, be walking up a flight of stairs.
Okay.
I didn't want to necessarily have an elevator. So, and also something to point out also, when we bought the place, when we closed, it was right in the beginning of the pandemic.
Yes. We closed like 2 weeks before everything shut down.
Yeah. People were just starting to talk about.
Yeah. Actually, when we were in the middle of moving is when the pandemic happened, because we actually had to call moving companies and see if they were still open because of the fact that we weren't sure.
Right. And so, and just being in an elevator in our old building was kind of... We can't wait to get out of here and not be in elevators anymore.
Yeah.
With people in enclosed spaces. But I wanted something that had maybe a porch would have been, you know, nice. Something that wasn't too far away. Something that's also, you know, close to transit, but you're not on top. One of my biggest pet peeves is, and Andy knows this, from his first place, is being too close to the train and being able to hear it. So that's something that was kind of a non-starter for me. If I could hear the train, it was going to be a no-go.
So, just for clarification, so I used to live up in Rogers Park. We live in Uptown, by the way, which is, for those of you who are coming from outside Chicago, north side. But I used to live in Rogers Park, which is far north side, almost Evanston. It, like getting towards the suburbs, and I lived literally like 100 feet away from the Red Line train, and it never bothered me because I just kept my windows closed. And it was a one bedroom, one bath apartment unit, so I never really paid attention to it that much. It didn't really bother me. Pam could not stand going over there. I mean, that place was gross for all other types of reasons. Most of them not my fault. Yeah. But I'm not going to get into that. But it was the fact was that I love the fact that if I wanted to go on to the train, I literally would take 100 steps and I'd be on the Red Line. And I would actually check how much time was left to get onto a Red Line train. It'd say 7 minutes or 5 minutes. And I could literally run down the stairs and get to the train on time and not have to wait, which during the winter in Chicago is great. But at the same point, I do understand that, and that's something. But this again goes to what do people want and what do they not want. So with that said, I think that adds a nice little element there. Now, oh sorry,
I was going to add also something to keep in mind is, you know, what are some things that you can bend on? Because Annie and I both had to compromise.
Yes.
On certain things. So, I mean, Andy, you compromised on getting that multi-unit that you wanted.
Yes, we did get equity in the house, which the place that we bought, we actually were the backup bidder because we had bid so low, which, by the way, if you'd like to buy a low-priced house, let me help. That's my pitch. That's not a pitch. But anyways, when did you bend on?
Well, at first I was really wanting a standalone home, sure. You know, just by itself. And then I think, you know, getting the condo kind of compromised on that.
I think neither one of us initially wanted a condo.
Yeah. And you know, kind of wanted a little bit of a yard.
Yeah.
As well, which we don't have, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I think we've got a lot more of what we wanted than what we didn't want.
Agreed. I mean, and also, by the way, one of the big surprises that happened was we have really great neighbors. We weren't expecting that.
Very lucky.
One of our neighbors has a fire pit, and we actually do fire pits in the back behind the house a lot of times, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah, and we didn't get a covered garage.
We didn't get a covered garage.
But we do have a private parking.
Yeah, we do have a private park. But this is, again, the type of stuff that you look at. So, okay, so one last question. Mm-hmm. What would you think is your best story of looking for a house? Name one story that you would think of when you're talking about looking for a house.
Well, it's either best or worst, because...
You can tell your worst story.
There's a lot of hoarders out there.
There's a lot of hoarders out there.
And people overvalue their properties.
Okay.
By a lot. But we went to a couple of places. One place in particular that was a multi-unit. Mm-hmm. And every single unit in the place was just... You had to basically either hold your breath... Mm-hmm. Why we stayed, I have no idea, to be honest. When we walked in, we should have walked out because it was completely just hoarded with clothing. I mean, just stuff.
Except for the basement unit, which was literally a unit in the basement next to the machinery for the HVAC stuff for the entire house.
Where it looked like a serial killer lived.
Yeah, it kind of looked like this is where you go to die because you're depressed.
Yes, so... you'll be surprised, and people that they have no shame in showing the space.
Yeah,
and I was just like, wow, you're not embarrassed at all, are you? Yeah,
they were very, very proud. We had another place we went to where we think they were selling cocaine or marijuana. Sorry, they were selling marijuana plants. Because she said that, because I asked why she had a plastic bag in the basement set up. It looked like it was very scary. Like, why would you have a plastic? Why would you have the entire wall covered with plastic? It just seems like what a serial killer would do. And she said apparently they were trying to grow marijuana. Well, she said
they were trying to
grow plants.
She was trying to have a green thumb. She didn't mention anything about marijuana. We surmised that's what she
was. But why else would you plant that in the basement?
In the basement, yes.
So anyways, thank you very much for your stories. I hope you horrified them. I hope you delighted them. And I appreciate you being on this episode. For those of you who are looking for more information and you want to go through this experience yourself, dealing with the hoarders, finding the right place, whatever, anything in between, let's talk. Go to andynathan.net and /own if you're looking to buy, or andynathan.net/sell if you're looking to sell your place. And again, this is another episode of Your Digital Marketing Realtor. Have a great day and a better week.